Dessert is something you eat that's sweet after dinner. Or it's a really dry place. Like really, really dry. Like Otomeka. In Otomeka, twigs snapped loud, like a stick hitting a stone. In Otomeka, leaves were hard, with sharp edges. In Otomeka, the green was dark and dusty, and the sky was very blue, or very green, or very dark, but with a million stars. In Otomeka, you did not want to lose your water bottle. Which was, of course, what Ipswich had done. It was the kind of thing that tended to happen if you were called Ipswich, Ipswich thought, as he kicked a stone and snapped twigs with his boots, cracking impressively across the dust. Maybe, he thought, he would survive the rest of the hike until he came to fresh water. It shouldn't be more than a day's hike from where he was, unless he got lost, of course. Which, Ipswich thought, would be another thing that tended to happen if you were called Ipswich. He was too sulky to worry much about it. The desert seemed quite an okay place to die. Peaceful, anyway. But despite his name, as sundown neared, he was crisscrossing down the slope, towards a babbling brook surrounded by a crazy amount of vegetation. He lay down on his stomach and drank greedily, then filled the two empty bottles he hadn't lost, and sat down with his back to a fir and drank more slowly, in sips. Breathing deeply and stretching legs and feet that had no bounds left in them at the end of this day. There are ferns here, he thought, amazed, while popping off boots and socks. He stepped gingerly over to the brook and let his bare feet be covered by the rushing cold water. Around him, shadows stretched long as the sun glinted through the trees. In an hour, it would be completely dark. When Ipswich poured the water off his pasta, it was completely dark. Only the fire from the gas burner was visible. He scraped out the fried beans and carrots into the pasta, added some oil, and sat cross-legged in the dark, complete now that the stove was off. Carefully, he looked up. It was impossible to get anything done if you weren't careful looking up. The stars were mesmerizing. Pine trees silhouetted against them. Ipswich jerked his head down. He was not going to drop his food because of some faraway gas balls. He'd done that too many times already. As the food landed in his stomach, he grew calm. The good thing, he thought, with pitching camp late, is that you have to leave the dishes for the morning. Soon he slept in a sleeping bag in a tent by a brook at the edge of Otomeka. Where was he going? Why was he going? That was what Adubal wondered as she ate up his leftovers, quietly, listening to him snore from his little cocoon. She was short, furry, and had arms that at times doubled as legs and hair pointing dramatically out at all sides. She was a whom, and had been watching Ipswich for a while now, curiously. She lay down, spread eagle, and let the stars bedazzle her. Soon she too slept. I would like to say that Otomeka was very quiet and serene, but Adubal snored just as bad as Ipswich. But apart from that, it was pretty cool and serene. And probably it's time I told you something about Ipswich. Ipswich was, or at least had been, president of a very developed nation called Amatestia. It had all just gotten to be too much for him. There are problems with having a very developed nation. Among his staff had been a bird that was a nerd, that believed in fractal universes and complex economics, and that was the Minister of Finances. Then there had been an eagle that was in love with a beagle and was really quite good at her job as Interior Minister, but was completely absorbed with thoughts of getting married. And just a few weeks into their term, when some kind of order started to settle, a cocoon in the moon had hatched spreadsheet experts with tufty hair and the kind and thoughtful people and creatures of Amadistia had insisted that the government get places for them in the bureaucracy since it seemed to make them so happy. And they were very effective and basically took care of themselves, but they kept wanting to give reports and only the moon people themselves really had the energy to listen to all the reports they produced. The constitution of Amadistia itself wasn't exactly simplifying things. There was one upper house, and one lower house, and one tree house with kids in it. And all motions that the government drew up had to pass through both houses and also not make the kids cry when explained to them. The idea that any idea that could not be explained to a five-year-old was too complicated was actually quite useful, but also not quite so useful. Because things can be both. One thing that never got through the treehouse were the propositions from the Minister of Finances. And well, maybe that was actually good. But I think you can understand that poor old Imswich slowly was losing his mind. To top it all off, he had a neighbor that kept telling him to just chill. But Imswich knew that unless he did the work to actually get the budgets passed and the tufty-haired reports read and understood and kept the treehouse from crying, something would happen? It became clear to him one evening that he was not absolutely sure what would happen. Maybe he could just leave. And so he had. Over and under the bridges of the sprawling, schizophrenic, paradise bird-like capital, Quechuebue, he had gone till he was finally out of it. He looked back. The place was still standing. Whew! That was a relief. The road had led on into the desert, and he had followed. Now he lay snoring under the stars, a few paces from Aboodle, who, as mentioned earlier, snored along. Imswich woke up early. Somebody was snoring. It was the gray of morning, when it's light enough to see things, but the world is still in the process of deciding if it's going to get up yet or not. The little creature outside his tent had absolutely not gotten up yet. He cocked his head and observed the lumberyard circular saw noise creating creature that really didn't look big enough to make a sound like that. And presently he kicked her gently. "Oi," she said. "You were snoring," Imswich said. "Oh, sorry." Adubal sat up and stretched. She twitched her pointy hairs and slowly rolled like a log over to the brook and into it. "Ah! Now I'm awake!" Imswich looked longingly back at his sleeping bag. But he would have felt bad going back to sleep after having kicked awake the little furry creature. So he sighed and rolled over into the water too. He gasped as the water closed in over his head. It was very cold and he immediately became very awake. He rubbed himself dry and put on cleanish clothes. Aboodle rested her head in her hands against the trunk. Lying half slouched, ears relaxed and folded down over her forehead. "So," she asked, "where are you going?" Imswich started emptying and then collapsing his tent. He was quiet for a bit. "I'm really just following this trail," he said after a while. "You want company?" Adubal asked. "Yeah, sure," Imswich said. Because most people that have hiked 2 or 3 days on their own are happy for some company. A As the sun rose from the horizon up towards the sky, two figures could be seen winding the way up from the green slope, surrounding the brook, and out into the dusty and sharp landscape of Otomeka. Their trail led towards the mountains, still quite far in the distance, but, Imswich thought, decidedly closer than yesterday morning.